Do you hear that? It's something quite extraordinary. If you pay attention and listen closely, you'll hear the stories of senior executives transforming brands and the experiences of real people in their natural habitat with those very same brands. Follow your host, Dennis Wakabayashi, as he pulls out his microphone to capture authentic reactions from the people he meets as he travels around the world. These are unrehearsed, unsponsored, and real conversations about CX that you won't find anywhere else. This is CX in the Wild.
All right, here we are on CX in the Wild, and I just happened to run into you while talking to Arena CX at the trade show floor. Your name is Maury...
Maury Noon.
Maury Noon, and...
Spelled noun, but yeah.
Maury Noon, spelled N-O-U-N. And I found it fascinating to hear what you were talking about. You're the first of your kind business. And why don't you tell us what your name is, what your title is, and what you're doing to start the conversation off?
Yeah, so my name is Maury Noon. I'm the CEO and founder of M-Vision. We have what is known as the first BPO operation out of Lebanon to the U.S. market. We started our company in 2020. You know, we got our first deal of business in the summer of 2020. And fast forward less than 24 months later, we now have over 200 agents that are doing primarily outbound sales and telemarketing, but we're also doing a lot of inbound customer support and service. And, you know, just to sum up what really makes us unique is, you know, we are, we're the first, you know, BPO operation of this magnitude out of Lebanon, you know, primarily employing women in the Middle East that, you know, our main selling point is that they sound American, and as depicted by the video on our website, you can't really tell that they're offshore, which is a really good selling point in the BPO space. And you know, we get a very, very overqualified level of talent due to the economic situation in Lebanon and globalization. You know, with the current inflation that's happening, we have women that are quitting their jobs as pharmacists, teachers, nurses to come work in our BPO environment, and that's due to the inflation. You know, they're getting paid better given the fact that we're paying them in U.S. dollars compared to the Lebanese local currency, which has been hit bad in the recent years. And do you have anything specific you want to ask me?
I have a lot of questions.
Yeah, go ahead.
First of all, we never hear, I mean, I've been working in this CX space with customer care for many years. This is the first time I've heard of BPO starting up in Lebanon. Where'd you get the idea?
Yeah,
start there.
Okay, so basically I was living in Lebanon and I had noticed that there was just a very large population that spoke English with the same level that I do, that kind of grew up, you know, on American movies, in American education systems. I did my last year of university there and I noticed that there was a large, I don't want to say it's the majority, but a large subset of a demographic in Lebanon, you know, amongst, you know, the more educated groups in society that, you know, their English was like mine. You know, you couldn't really tell that they were, that they, like, they have no accent. And
and you thought that was valuable and you thought, hey, I can put that to work on the phone?
I didn't think about it right away, but what happened was it was one day I saw someone going to go work at their job that they explained to me was a very, very low wage. They were making like, I don't remember if it was like 20 or 30 bucks for the whole day to stand on their feet. And I was like, you know, and I sounded like an arrogant American at the time because I was like, oh, why don't you just get like a work from home, like virtual assistant or call center job like with the United States and get like a better wage? And they were like, yeah, good luck convincing a company in America to send money to Lebanon. And then I realized that my statement was kind of silly because she had a point there. No one was willing to do that. So that's when I went and set up my company in New Jersey, and I became the intermediary. You know, now there's a liable party that can sign contracts, that has a presence in the United States. And when I first came back to America after living in Lebanon, so I initially didn't even want to do call center stuff. My initial plan was software development because I had noticed that amongst all the communities I knew in Lebanon, the only ones that really like were making money and not financially struggling were people that did outsourcing projects for software development. And I came with a plan of landing software development projects, but I don't know anything about software development. So the sales cycle was too complicated and difficult. Whereas with the call center stuff, I knew what my people, the range that they were willing to work for on an hourly basis or a salary basis. So I knew what I could charge. And, you know, I knew enough about the industry that I could train someone to be good at sales or customer service, or train managers to make sure that the agents are doing good.
Interesting. So, and when we were on the trade show floor, you said something that caught my ear, which was you said you're not the lowest cost outsource provider, but you're able to get a little bit of premium. And I was sharing with you, the only other place that I've heard that is in South Africa. Mm-hmm. They also are able to charge a little more for more fluent English, if you will. And it's interesting for me to hear that coming out of Lebanon. Can you just talk about how you came to the understanding that you could charge more?
And yeah, well, I mean, basically it's, okay, so first of all, you know, we're paying our good qualified people down there more than what these other BPOs in more popular BPO destinations like India or the Philippines would be paying their reps. So automatically we do have a higher cost, and that's due to the quality of the talent we're getting. The other thing is this, you know, we've actually had people replace their American centers with us because we, like, without, you know, trying to toot our horn, but we've actually been told many times that we are providing people that are actually performing better than an American rep, even if the price is lower or closer to the cost of an American rep. Because now, you know, with the pandemic that we're living in, and, you know, the post-corona economy where there's all these stimulus checks and unemployment, and, you know, there's a major labor shortage in the United States, $20 an hour is not going to get you a very, very overqualified sales rep in the United States. You know, someone can be an average sales rep and they'll still find a way to make six figures in this economy. And, you know, when someone gives me the objection that, like, oh, if I'm going to pay this much, you know, I might as well, you know, go and hire American, you know, we tell them, you know, let us know how the results are going to be, because I'm trying to think of the right way to word this, you know, but it's just that it's basically this. It's if you're looking to spend low in America, you're going to get low quality. But if you take that amount, which is considered expensive for offshore, you're going to get very high quality, because like I was saying before, we're talking about people with master's degrees from American accredited universities, like I was saying before, pharmacists, teachers, and people that really know how to talk and have emotional intelligence and understand American culture. And you know, the sprinkle on the cake is that, you know, we have these people whose English proficiency is so good, you can't tell they're overseas. And, you know, now with the current, you know, modern corona, post-corona economy where people have gotten so used to their staff working from home, it really doesn't make a difference if they're not in America, if you can't tell, you know, because that's what it comes down to. Because if it's like, if I never told you, you know, if I was dishonest and didn't tell you that they were overseas, you would have never known. You know, the caller could have gotten on a Zoom call with you and introduced themselves and said, I'm in North Carolina. You would have never had an idea. But, you know, we're honest. We don't do that. We like to tell it how it is, you know, as demonstrated on the video on our website. You know, it's the callers talking about the value they provide and, you know, mentioning that they're from Lebanon and why, you know, we're a unique outsourcing destination and how, you know, most people are scared of outsourcing because they're worried about a language barrier or miscommunication and how it's not a problem with us. And
sure, yeah. And all those things. I think we're pretty familiar with that, those factors. I mean, English proficiency is helpful when you're dealing with English-speaking clientele. But similarly, if we were talking to someone in a Latin country and we wanted them to speak Spanish or French, and then French become, I mean, the language is important. What I find interesting about what you're doing is it feels like it's empowering to maybe an under-recognized group of workers in the world. I think the global stage has created a new kind of fairness for everyone. And it really makes it interesting to me to hear you empowering a new group of people, bringing a new part of the world onto the stage of customer experience. And I met you at Arena CX, their booth, and they have a marketplace. Can you tell me, is Arena CX, is that helpful in you establishing this new part of the world for customer care, or were you able to do this predominantly on your own? How are you going to market?
So I'm a new partner of Arena CX. Arena CX is building something that's really great, and I have very, very high hopes from their project. However, I am a new partner to them, so at the moment, I'm currently not working with any of Arena CX's new, with any of their buyers, due to the fact that I just recently got onboarded to their system. But the way I infiltrated the market was really, you know, it started with me cold calling companies, you know, getting rejected a lot and, you know, not letting it get to my head and staying persistent. You know, and I had people tell me like a lot of crazy things when I first called them because they never heard of a call center out of Lebanon. You know, I had people tell me, what are you, nuts? You think I'm going to give my client data to some country in the Middle East? But I didn't let them get to my head. And I actually use that sometimes, that example, when I'm motivating my agents to not let the negativity of one phone call affect the next call. I tell them, just because someone you try to sell something to was rude and disrespectful and told you to go get a real job or said something else that was mean, don't let that affect your energy on the next call. And I give them the example of when I would cold call somebody and they talked to me like that and how I didn't let it affect my future calls. And then eventually now I've grown a company larger than the company, the companies of some of these people that rejected me. Exactly. And so, yeah, LinkedIn was very big for me.
How do you address the conversation about security concerns, data in the Middle East?
I mean, basically, you know, I tell them, okay, so like, first of all, most of my clients don't have us dealing with sensitive data.
Okay.
Now, some of them do. Nothing more sensitive than like an insurance policy or credit card information. But
well, that's pretty serious.
It is. But the thing is this, and it's like, it's not something, this comes down to more of my knowledge of Lebanon compared to theirs. But you know, the image someone would have in the West is probably that like someone in any foreign Middle Eastern country would try to like do fraud at any given moment, but that's actually a really big misconception.
Well, I'm glad you're breaking that down because I want to break down. I definitely want my audience to not have misconceptions like this.
Yes. So basically what I try to teach them is that like, for example, they would, okay, like 99% of my staff would not even probably know what to do with credit card information if they had it stolen. And two, they would actually be really fearful because, you know, people assume the Middle East to be like a lawless land where, you know, Lebanon specifically does have a lot of corruption and law is not enforced in certain regions amongst you know, political classes, politicians, you know, the elites. You know, it is a corrupt nation, that's for sure. Every nation has some level of corruption. But we have a presence in Lebanon, you know, as both, you know, we have a Lebanese partner company, and we also have, you know, we're known as an American company. And, you know, in Lebanon, you know, yes, a lot of politicians might have no accountability, but, you know, there are legal consequences for actions. And what is a known fact in Lebanon, which is unfortunate, but it's known that foreign investors, foreign companies, they kind of have a little bit more pull when it comes to the government and, you know, law enforcement and that type of stuff. You know, like they, you know, they say like, oh, like, you know, like people are, and this is not just in Lebanon, this is in even some countries in Eastern Europe and South America that have a bad reputation, that it's like, if you do something bad to a foreigner that comes from the United States, Canada, an EU country, you know, they hold a foreign passport that has a quote strong embassy, your consequences legally would be worse than if you did something, you know, to just another Lebanese national or another Lebanese company. And, you know, we're known as a large company, you know, we're American, so I don't, and they sign contracts, you know, non-disclosures, that type of stuff.
Do you do some sort of background check?
Yeah, we do. Like, so first of all, everyone has to send us, you know, like, obviously, like, just like any other, well, I don't know if American, I've never been employed in America, but I don't know if employers in America ask for your ID, but, you know, obviously we take down their ID, you know, we do have a background check system in Lebanon. But the thing is, it's like, Lebanon doesn't really have like a credit card fraud culture. Like most people have never even heard of that. Compared to like America, almost everyone knows what credit card fraud is. Lebanon,
I had my identity stolen just recently.
I just got off the phone with Chase because we were reviewing my books with my accountant like the other day, and I noticed that in 2020, my personal bank account, there's a transaction that sent like $2,600 to Nigeria.
Like, that wasn't you.
I never did that, and we didn't notice it until 2 years later because it was on my personal account, which I don't check. I check my business account, and we thought that Chase wasn't going to refund me it because it was like 2 years ago. Like usually there's like a 90-day limit, but they actually did refund me it. So
I went to Chase after my identity fraud. So plug for Chase on there if you're listening. So it sounds like you're doing some sort of background check. You're an American company leveraging high quality talent in Lebanon for customer care and sales. Does your team specialize, if you had to choose between the strength and outbound sales or customer care, which one of those, if you had to pick one, would you say your current strength is in?
So, okay, that's a complicated question because most of our business right now is in sales, but that's not out of choice. That's because I haven't had a lot of success in landing too many CX, customer service accounts, inbound accounts. Everyone that has found my center or that I've marketed to needs sales support.
Yes.
But, like, for example, my customer service accounts, like, one of them is an account that started me for sales, and then they were like, okay, I like more these people for sales, I trust them for customer support, so they started doing that. Another one like found me on LinkedIn, and then another one got referred by that one that found me. And
how do they find you on LinkedIn? Like, I don't think people are searching for,
well, so I would like post in LinkedIn groups. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, for example, I have one account that it's kind of a combination of outbound and inbound. We do legal intakes for them, like mass torts. So I don't know if, you know, I guess that classifies as both. But our motto is, see, customer service is easier than sales. Because what we've just noticed is that, like, we'll get a lot of people that are not a good fit for sales that apply and they don't have success. But then we put them on a customer service position and they have success. And what
it's a different skill set.
Exactly. Now, not everyone who's good at sales can handle customer service,
true,
you know, because they might be a little too, I don't know the word to use, but pushy. But yeah, I mean, so like, yeah, right now most of our business is sales, and we find it harder to source and train sales talent than customer service talent, because, you know, it's just sales talent is harder to find and keep. But in our company, actually, it's a known thing amongst the culture of our callers that customer service jobs are, quote, easier and more stable. So sometimes we'll have people in sales be like, hey, can I please get put on a support position? And it's kind of unfair, but the ones that are really good, we're like, absolutely not. but we give the ones that aren't the best, we give them an opportunity to go, because we're like, well, she's not doing that good at sales anyway, so we might as well put her somewhere that she'll be happy, the client will be happy, etc.
So you have 200 agents. Mm-hmm. You've been going since, you said 2020?
2020, summer of 2020, yeah.
2020, it's like 18 months, exactly. 19 months. You have 200 agents, you're based in Lebanon. How can people find you if they want to look more into offshore in Lebanon?
Well, they can go on mvisionusa.com, M like Mike, vision like eyesight, USA, like United States of America.com. They can search me up on LinkedIn, Maury Noon, MauryNoun, or they can feel free to text me or call me, 718-219-7670, or they can email us at info@mvisionusa.com. So that's a whole bunch of ways they can find us. And the video, we actually have a video of our callers at the bottom of our homepage, if anybody wants to check that out.
That's interesting. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I love hearing about new things in the industry. The first outsourced opportunity for customer care and sales in Lebanon. Certainly interesting. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Dennis. I appreciate you.
Yeah. Okay.
Did it finish?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, so where's that going to go?
This just goes on my podcast, CX in the Wild.
And so, our time together in the wild has come to an end. To continue your journey with Dennis, connect on LinkedIn or find out more at teamwakabayashi.com. Join us next time as we continue to explore the world of CX in the wild.